Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health. I'm your host, Dawson Church, and I love being here with you every single week. It is so good to give ourselves a break from all of the other things we fill our minds with and fill our attention with every week and give ourselves a chance to breathe, slow down, and contemplate the things that really count. That's what we do here on High Energy Health. I encourage you to do a few things in preparation. One is make sure you have a writing implement of some kind, because usually our guests are going to give you so many nuggets of wisdom, you won't be able to remember them all. So writing them down is important. The other thing is I often will interrupt the show for a moment or two and turn what a guest has said into a little personal growth reflection exercise for you. And you want to make sure you have something to write that down with. I'll ask you a challenging question for you to reflect on as we integrate all of the wisdom and learning we have on the show into our neural network. So make sure you have that handy. And then the final thing I want to ask you to do is please share High Energy Health with other people, because there are shows here on virtually every topic you can imagine. Over our more than 300 episodes, we have covered all kinds of high leverage ways of improving anxiety, depression, traumatic stress, every life area from money to family to other relationships to work to career to spirituality. And I know that you know people who are suffering, and people who are suffering because they don't have the tools they need. They may feel themselves locked into a set of options in their mind that aren't really working for their life. And you clicking on that link, copying it, pasting it into an email you send to friends, pasting it into social media, sharing it in a text, any way that you want to share it, that is your way of gifting those people with an alternative. So I really want to ask you every episode, think, who do I know who needs to know this information, and how can I help? If you have a friend who is having an issue, look through our back catalog of shows and let them know. Let other people have this gift of High Energy Health as well as you. And I know we're in for a wonderful, wonderful and inspiring time together today. My guest is Elizabeth Husserl. She is a registered investment advisor, financial advisor, and a co-founder of Peak 360 Wealth Management, a boutique wealth planning firm. She's also the author of the book, The Power of Enough, Finding Joy in Your Relationship with Money. How about that? Money and joy in the same sentence. She has a BS in economics from Tulane University, an MA in East West Psychology from CIIS, and she's also taught there as an adjunct professor. She's also led workshops at major tech companies, including Airbnb, Unity, and Google. Her website is ElizabethHusserl.com. I know we're going to have a fantastic time as we consider this really vital part of everyone's life and one's consciousness and one's relationship to money. Elizabeth, it is so good to have you here.
Thank you, Dawson, for having me. And you're right, I intentionally put those words together, joy and money, in the subtitle of the book.
And we'll discover how to operationalize that in the next little while together. So what was your personal journey to putting those two things together in your own life?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I would say in some, I've always been someone who loves, I have like two parts of my brain, right? And so I love the mathematical solving problems and I love the human psyche, right? And so those were always my two passions. And so I did my undergraduate in economics at Tulane University. I'm originally from New Orleans, born and raised in a most amazing, vital city. And then afterwards, I wanted to spend 2 years abroad. My family's from Colombia, from South America. And so I spent 2 years living and working in Oaxaca, Mexico, working at a nonprofit doing the community economics development, which was basically teaching indigenous women how to do savings and loan cooperatives so they could save amongst themselves, right, to meet some unexpected needs, like one of their child getting sick or going to school. And so in that process, I was teaching them something very tactile and important when it came to economics and finance. But I was learning, Dawson, that their experience of wealth looked very different than what was taught to me in a textbook, right? And so my younger kind of early 20s self was like, wait, what do you mean that economics isn't just the allocation of scarce resources, right? Their experience of wealth was so different. So I spent the second half of my time in Oaxaca just asking them, right? I'm like, okay, let me not assume that I know everything. Let me ask them, what does wealth mean to you? And their responses were, first and foremost, physical health, right? If I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, community relationships, connection to spirit, their dignity, right? Their ability to have agency when it came to their organizations politically, and all these other aspects that really turned on head everything that I had learned. So I came back after that, Dawson, to explore, well, what a second, what if financial stability is one portion of how we define wealth, but just that, just one portion? And it sent me on this kind of like deep inquiry into my own experience with scarcity to be like, oh my gosh, they are totally right. I have felt scarcity in other areas that was non-material, that was really important. And how do I answer this question? Why is it that we have so much and yet we feel so poor, right? That's what I feel we're exploring in the more modern cultures that we're in. And why is it that some communities that have material poverty feel so wealthy in other ways? So that's kind of the inner section of that question that I've been exploring for the last 20 years.
So let's take a break right there and just ask ourselves that crucial question. Grab your journal, grab a piece of paper, grab your tablet, something to write with, and ask yourself, what is your definition of wealth? What is my personal definition of wealth? Ask yourself that same question that Elizabeth asked those women in Oaxaca, Mexico, and really give yourself a moment to contemplate that. And as she's saying, it might look nothing like traditional definitions at all. This is just for you, yours, and your chance to really look into your own psyche, look into your own value system, and see what your answer to that question is. So Elizabeth and I will be silent for the count of 10 breaths, a little meditation ourselves here, and give you time to write your answer to that question. And you can always do more journaling later on and develop those themes that are popping into your mind right now.
Can we just take 10 more seconds to ask the question, do you think wealth and money are the same thing? Yes.
This question, love it.
Yes. Do you think money and wealth are the same thing? Why or why not? Let's take 10 more seconds. This is great.
I'm going to do that one myself.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. So where do these questions typically lead people? Where have they led you?
Yeah, no, so that's great. Let's start in reverse order, right? Are money and wealth the same is a very kind of triggering question because, funny enough, Dawson, most people say they're not, but they don't know what the difference is. And then when they do a little bit deeper, they realize that internally they've connected the two things. And that's why our relationship to money feels so at times hazy and confusing. And that's where sometimes we confuse net worth with self-worth, right? And so where it's led me to answer your question, it's led me to do two things. One, to really do a deep dive into my relationship to money, right? What do I think about money? What do I feel about money? What beliefs and patterns have I created about money? Not just in my life, but what I've inherited, right? There's financial DNA. And then it's led me to do some digger part two is like, okay, if money and wealth are different things and I can define wealth more holistically, what is my definition of wealth, which is the question that you ask everyone else to do. And in the end, what I end up working towards is providing a different framework for wealth, which is still very individual and personal, but it's based on a universal framework that we can all sink our teeth into. Let me know if you want me to dive into that now or if you have another question first.
Please do, yes.
Okay. And so I'm going to say two things, right? Is that to finish the question around money and wealth the same thing? They're not. Money is a tool and a technology. Wealth is a state of well-being. So money as a tool, we use it to measure value, to store value, to exchange. But wealth is a state that we can craft and we can feel agency around. So I define wealth based on the science of human needs. We're all familiar with human needs through Maslow, right? Maslow added this idea that in addition to our survival needs, food, shelter, safety, there's self-actualization needs, right? Transformation and growth and personal development. So I take a deeper look at the science of human needs with some other economists, and I create what I call a wealth mandala, which you can access on my website for free, or you can read about it in the book. And the wealth mandala means circle in Sanskrit. And this is where I start to bring together the word joy, Dawson, because the mandala is used as a tool to move from suffering to joy. So in this circle map, I take the 12 human needs and I do leave space for two if I did not name a need that's really important to you. And I create a map where you can start to look and fill out literally by coloring or writing a number on a scale of 1 to 10, how fulfilled are you in each of these needs in your life? For example, these needs are financial stability, safety, physical health, connection, purpose, belonging, leisure, understanding, touch, etc. So there's 12 of these needs. And when we start to break it down and we start to recognize, oh, maybe in the need for physical health, I'm actually a 5 because I'm working so hard, I'm forgetting to take care of myself. Or maybe in the need of purpose, I'm a 10 because I just published my book and I'm really feeling really fulfilled. But in my need for leisure, I'm a 2 because I've been working really hard, right? And so you start to really assess, Dawson, where are you feeling fulfilled and wealthy in your life? And where are you feeling lack or scarcity or poverty, right? And so you start to really kind of understand how are you designing and diversifying your wealth portfolio. And then you can start to bring that question like, huh, what is satisfaction fulfillment like in each of these different areas? And how do I bring both monetary and non-monetary strategies to fulfill them? And that's the kicker, because if we start to design non-monetary strategies in fulfilling our different needs, we break the dependency on money and we break that correlation that we say money and wealth aren't the same thing. Money is one tool to satisfy these different needs, but there's a lot of other tools and a lot of different resources, which is what I learned 20 years ago in Oaxaca.
And not only that, they're going to change throughout your life. So maybe after you finish your book, you will have a time to take a break. And
right. Spring break is coming up. I'm taking some leisure time. Yes. Yeah.
One thing you said earlier really struck me, and I think we'll go there after a break. So please stay tuned after the break. I want to tune in to this whole concept you mentioned earlier about wealth DNA, financial DNA, that we have these imprints, we have these stories, we have these community realities that we tend to live out, and often they're unexamined. And I just sort of like the way you encourage us to really take a conscious look, dredge those out from our unconscious behavior, and then start to actually take a hard look at what those are. So we'll get into that after the break, and you'll probably start to see, as Elizabeth and I cover this ground, how much of what you think is yours by way of attitudes, beliefs, perspectives, worldviews around money and around all those aspects of wealth is actually a relic of someone else's past. So we'll look at that after a break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to High Energy Health, and go to Elizabeth's website for that mandala, that wholeness mandala, which will stimulate you to think about wealth in all of those directions. And her website is elizabethhusserl.com. Her book, again, is called The Power of Enough, Finding Joy in Your Relationship with Money. We'll be right back after a break.
buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping. Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hello, and welcome back to High Energy Health. I'm your host, Dawson Church. I so love sharing with you every single week on this show. And what we share is so important to life and what really counts, what really matters. And it's such a profound act on your part of self-care to step back from all the noise, all the craziness, all the randomness of messages we get. And you're now giving yourself this time, this space, these series of breaths, this conceptual reality to just sit there with you. Look at how you nurture yourself. Look at messages that can really make a difference to your life. And you're showing up for you by being part of our wonderful high energy health community. So thank you so much for being here. Make it part of your day, your week. Make sure you have the site bookmarked. Make sure you share it with others. And we'll have some more exercises for you to apply your mind to and your intention to and your focus to really stimulate you to think these kinds of issues through. So Elizabeth, this whole idea that you have financial DNA, that you didn't just develop your money ideas uniquely as yours in your life, they come from elsewhere. Explain that whole concept and how we work with that and move past it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and I would say, Dawson, it's almost like this is part of your inheritance, right? And there's some aspects of your financial DNA that will feel like an inheritance, like that's going to help you move forward. And then there's some parts of that financial DNA that's going to feel like debt that I need to resolve, right? Because if not, it's going to drag. It's going to be a negative return on your investment of time. And so what I want to say by this is that So energetically, there's patterns and behaviors that we have around money that we've seen modeled in those caregivers, right, that raised us, and that we hear in the stories that get passed down. So for example, right, I am first generation born in the U.S. My parents immigrated from Colombia, but my grandparents came from Austria. My grandfather was an Austrian Jew who left during the Second World War at the beginning because he was running from Nazi Germany, right? And he got on a boat trying to get to Argentina, ended up in Colombia with no money and no language, and figured out how to make his world again, became a CPA, right? You can see where my love of numbers comes from, became a CPA for the European community in Bogota and Colombia. But he did not shake that sense of persecution and scarcity, Dawson. So my father was raised with that, right? Even though my grandmother would have loved to spend a little bit more, my father was raised with frugality, right? That I was raised with frugality. And what was interesting, Dawson, that it was so confusing to me as a kid, because I'm like, huh, both my parents work, right? They're working professional, dual income. My school's paid for. We were able to travel to see my family in Colombia all the time. But the sense of scarcity didn't go away. And if I could have, I would have pushed the button for a software update like we do in our phones, right? That would be very convenient. It's not as easy. We had to start to unpack where that sense of scarcity came from. So I started asking questions about my grandfather, where they came from, about my father. My father then revealed that he had inherited this financial DNA, and no one really taught him how to become financial literate, right? And so yes, he was a doctor. He started putting money in his 401k, but no one told him how to invest, what to do what. And so there was this feeling of like, okay, the responsibility of money without the education of it. So as I started to get educated and I went into this career of financial advising, right, as partly to heal my own trauma around money, I wrote this book out of a conviction and a determination to not pass scarcity on to my daughter, right? And so I had to do my own work with scarcity. And I will say, Dawson, it doesn't just disappear overnight, right? I can track when the scarcity comes up. I'm like, I know you, you're an old friend, right? It's kind of like all the emotions that bubble up. We start to recognize that, right? But it doesn't have to influence or determine my financial decision. I can now work with it because I'm aware of that pattern and behavior, right? And one of the best tools that hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about is literally sitting down and having a conversation with money to work through those moments of scarcity. That is hands down the easiest and most effective way of working with those hard emotions. But it comes with the recognition of where the origin story was. Because that is not my origin story. I did not have to leave my homeland because of persecution. So I'm in charge for that software update. And it comes through knowing what the story is, writing my own story, rewriting the future, right, and deciding what I want wealth to look like, and being in a close, intimate relationship with money.
So let's turn that one into another exercise. And you won't have time to do it here, but I encourage you to do it later after the show. I want you to write down the wealth attitudes of as many of your ancestors as you can. So your mother and your father, their mother and their father, and you'll probably find some really stand out to you. Like I know in back in my lineage, there was one particular great-great-grandfather that was like the icon of wealth in my family. Right away, he was like thinking back along the family tree, 200 years, like his name was John Talbot, and John Talbot owned a sweet shop. He owned a Main Street shop selling sweets. And my family, that was like the epitome of success. So you're going to find some surprising ones there. You're going to find some messages there that might make you feel uncomfortable. But again, as Elizabeth is saying, this is like an old friend. This is an old feeling. This isn't something just brand new that's popping into your mind as you do her wonderful exercise here. This is a pattern in your biology, probably a pattern in your hormones and neurotransmitters and your neural network as well. So give yourself that moment and really reflect on your family's wealth stories, what they were. Make this note in your journal. And again, you can do the journaling exercise later. It's probably going to give you a whole lot to reflect on and think about. And maybe it's a little bit disturbing in some ways. That's okay. You'll get through it. So I want to then move into fascinating concept you have here, which I have never heard about. And I thought, oh, I've interviewed quite a number of friends of mine who are hedge fund managers and investment advisors and various people in the financial industry. And I thought, well, what Elizabeth offers us, it's really new. And that idea of actually having a dialogue with money is a powerful one. So we'll go to a break right now. When we get back, we will actually look at how you do that. How do you have a chat with money? And what Elizabeth said was, you do it especially when you're feeling scarcity. You go have that talk with money. So we'll look at how to do that on the next segment. And again, Elizabeth's book is well worth checking out. And also her website, which is simply her name, Elizabeth Husserl. I'll spell it for you as well to make sure you get it right. Although if you just Google her, she'll pop up right away. HUSSERL.com. ElizabethHusserl.com. And her book is called The Power of Enough. You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after a short break.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net. Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at LovingRelationshipsNow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit LovingRelationshipsNow.com.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. It works quickly and has no side effects. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com. That's tappinggift.com. Don't suffer when help is at your fingertips. Get your manual at tappinggift.com today.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hello and welcome back. I'm so glad you're here. Make high energy health a habit. It's an act of self-care to tune into positive ideas, positive messages. I know I read the news sometimes, and when I'm done reading the regular news, the BBC or the Associated Press or something else, I then go and read another set of news sources like Nice News or PositiveNews.com. There are so many sources there of wonderful, uplifting, inspiring things, and there are thousands of them happening every day. So make sure you balance all the random stuff, the noise that comes in to your world and your head. We can't avoid it. We don't need to duck it. It's there in the world, but we certainly don't need to make it the only source of information coming in. Choose those sources wisely. pick media like High Energy Health that's really going to support and nourish your spirit and your life, not just all the random stuff that's out there, made by people who really want your eyeballs and your money and don't have your best interests in heart. You'll find here at High Energy Health, this is a community of love and support. So please join us regularly, and also do please share the show. Again, Elizabeth's book is available online and at her website, which is elizabethhusserl.com. So Elizabeth, this fascinating idea of sitting down with a cup of tea, perhaps.
I have my cigar. There we go.
We're both raising our cups over here and having a chat with money.
Yes.
What does that look like?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's that. So I'll give a little bit of background, and then I'll actually model how it's done so people could go ahead and do that today. So it's a Gestalt chair exercise. It's a therapeutic chair exercise, which is the empty chair exercise. So the idea is that you have a space of two chairs. You get to sit in one, and then money gets to sit in the other chair, right? In therapy, you get to talk to money or someone, a parent or someone who didn't want to come to therapy with you. You'd be surprised, Dawson. Money actually does want to come to therapy with you, because it wants to have this conversation. And so the way to structure it, right, is that you literally take two chairs or two meditation pillows and you put them at a certain distance. This is important, right? You get to decide the distance between you and money. Do you want to be really close and tight when you talk? Do you need a little bit more space because there's some things to resolve? So you set the two chairs or the two pillows. You sit in one and you physically put your money object, right? So you get to choose a money object. I usually choose my money jar, which I've had for 20 years, and it has currency from all over the world and a $20 bill and little flowers. Some people will choose a credit card, a wallet. Back in the day, people would whip out their checkbooks. Now they whip out their phones. But you choose a money object, and that object literally goes in the other chair in front of you, right? So you set your space. Then you set a timer on your phone, right? 5 minutes. You get to go first. And what I like to tell people, Dawson, this is a great exercise to do after you've written about your story, right? Write about your financial DNA first. Get the juices moving. And then you can sit down and be like, money, I'm going to tell you what I feel in this moment, having written all that out, right? And so literally imagine a knock on the door. Money sits down in front of you, and for 5 minutes, you get to share whatever's in your heart, on your chest. Share the emotional piece, not the story piece, right? Of like, oh, God damn it, money, where have you been? Or it's so good to see you. Or like, you know, make it as kind of caricature as you can to really express what you're feeling. When the timer goes off, you literally stand up, change chairs. You are now in money's chair. You hold the money object, and you respond back. And this is sometimes what takes a little bit of a stretch for people, stretch of the imagination, but I'm going to encourage you, it can happen. You can be money responding back to you, and you get to money, in money's role, get to say whatever you want back, right? So you're money talking back to you, and your job is just to listen to what money has to say. Put the 5 minute timer on. When the timer goes off, you get 2 minutes to respond to money. Right? When that timer goes off, you get 2 minutes, money gets the last word. And what's really important, yes, money always gets the last word here, because when's the first time you sat down and had a conversation with money, right? I'm sure there's a lot to be said. What's really important here is that what I'm always telling clients, listen for two things. Listen for what that first emotion is, because it's going to tell you so much of how you approach all of your money decisions. Is it with fear, anger, shame, disgust, indifference? Right? What is that emotion that's in that relationship to money? If that's all you get from this experience, that's so much work already there. And then the second thing, listen for where is money perhaps asking you to take responsibility for something? We scapegoat money a lot because we feel frustrated and confused. Money, once it kind of tells you, hey, that's kind of yours, if you turn around and say, money, what's your advice? Money often has some pretty good advice for you. Right? And so listen to that. Once we start taking responsibility, money has some really good advice. I'll give one short example to highlight this, right? So a couple weeks ago, I'm a financial advisor. I manage people's investment accounts. The market's been very volatile in 2025. The market went down a couple weeks ago, and I'm having a book event in New Orleans, and I'm like, oh, money. Bad timing, right? When you go down in the stock market, I get a lot of client emails, which I need to respond to because that is my job. And I don't have time for that today, right? I'm supposed to be getting ready for my book event. And so I went through my day. I did all the client emails that I needed to, because obviously that's my job. And I come home and I'm like, okay, before I go and talk about the power of enough, I need to have a conversation with money. So I did not have my money jar, but I had a $50 bill in my wallet, which I love. I took it out. I set up my space in the hotel room. And then I sit down and I have a conversation with money. And I got to say, money, oh, you are frustrating me today. You're like, why did you pick today to go down? And I'm a financial advisor. I know the ins and outs of why markets move. But I was feeling frustrated and I needed to get that off my chest. I switched, Dawson, and now it's money responding back to me. And money's like, thanks for sharing that, Elizabeth. Let me remind you, you're not responsible for your client's emotions, but you can respond to them. And when money said that, Dawson, I went, oh, I'm carrying this burden of responsibility, and money's totally right. I need to respond, but I'm not responsible for them. And once money said that, I felt this weight lifted. I'm like, you're totally right. We can get through cycles together. Thank you, money. That's exactly what I needed to hear. And I kind of shook that off, and I was able to go have probably one of the best book events that I've had so far, right? And so I'm pointing this out. I've been having a conversation with money for 20 years. My first one is actually outlined in the book. So if you want to read that one, buy the book, chapter 3. You'll have a blast reading through it. I also give 2 other client conversations with money in the book to really emphasize the wide range of what I've seen. But it is a tool, Dawson, that I use almost every day of my life, because the reality is, much like our partners, our kids, our colleagues, we are in relationship with money almost every day of our lives. So the more we start talking to it, even if it's 5 minutes a day, the more that relationship starts to feel more fluid, more transparent, more clear. And money, instead of being an adversary, can start to feel like a guide, an ally, and even a friend.
You know, that is so powerful, because now you're engaging with money in this proactive way, and that is so empowering. And so rather than just having it something that you aren't really including in that kind of relationship, that dialogue, you're now engaging with it. And again, as Elizabeth said, that could be difficult, could be triggering at first. Just keep on breathing. Eventually you'll move through it and you'll come out the other side. And then I want to also explore with you the whole idea of all of this is about consciousness. All of this is about how we see ourselves, how we see our world, how we see our lives. And so let's talk a little bit now, and also in the final segment, about the relationship of money and spirituality. I'd love to know how that works for you. Maybe just brief in the first couple of minutes, and then we'll go into that more in depth in the next segment.
Yeah. So what I would say is that I actually treat money as a spiritual guide, right? I have a deep practice of working with different, you know, I have a very close relationship to my ancestors, which are those who are no longer here. I'm very much in connection. Relationship is a spiritual tool for me. And so money and our relationship to money is another doorway into knowing ourselves, which is what you just said, Dawson, right? And so I use my relationship to money as a mirror to see all the ways that perhaps I'm giving my power away. Right? That perhaps I'm not taking responsibility for how I'm showing up as a spiritual person in this world. And I use my conversation with money to help me highlight those places that perhaps I need a little bit more tweaking and alignment. And when I hold it as a tool for transformation, right? Not a tool for judgment, not a tool that's supposed to bring me shame, but for transformation, I have become a better human because of my relationship to money, and I feel a lot of agency in it. And I 100% believe that that's a birthright for all of us.
So money as a tool for transformation, and that may be a very new way of thinking about money for you. And contemplate Elizabeth's words here and that possibility. So maybe it hasn't been that for you up to this point in your life. You haven't seen money as a tool for transformation. You may have had all kinds of other emotions around it, but not brought it into that transformational space. This is your opportunity to do that, your opportunity to actually revision your relationship with money and turn it into that tool of transformation and be really grateful for it. So this is a powerful insight, a powerfully different way of seeing it from the way most people do. When we get back after a break, we'll look again at all of the dimensions of money and spirituality. You're listening to High Energy Health. For more on Elizabeth's work, go to her website, elizabethhusserl.com. for that exercise, for more information about her book, and also for a whole series of other gifts and insights you'll discover on that website, ElizabethHusserl.com. And stay tuned. We'll be right back after a break.
The buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Everyone knows that losing weight fast is dangerous. In fact, the U.S. Government Center for Disease Control recommends losing no more than 1 to 2 pounds a week. But is that true? Startling new research shows that people who lose weight rapidly often have better long-term results. Now, award-winning researcher Dr. Dawson Church and registered dietitian Karen Donaldson team up to review all the evidence at 10poundsaweek.com. Download their free report at 10poundsaweek.com. That's 10poundsaweek.com. Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. I'm your host, Dawson Church. I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad you're giving yourself this break in your busy day and your busy mind to really focus on nurturing and self-care and messages and insights that can make a huge difference in your life. Hasn't it been awesome so far to both listen and also then engage with these provocative questions that Elizabeth is raising for us and sharing with us and stimulating in us and giving us this opportunity to really revision and review our whole view of money and the possibilities that that relationship might hold. So, Elizabeth, I ask this question because when I do live events, I teach a lot of live workshops at different places, and we have one series of questionnaires we use with participants. One of them has a segment on money, and while people tend to be generally okay with their self-concept and relationship to health and love and family and career and various other dimensions of their lives, when it comes to the money part of the questionnaire, they score the lowest on that segment of any of them consistently. They just don't relate. One question is, it says, score your belief in this idea on a scale of 0 to 10. My money is an expression of my spiritual values. Yeah. And most people score really, really low. So how can we start to see money as an expression of the beings of consciousness, the beings of love and infinite grace that we in fact are?
Okay, so I think I need to answer with a little bit of kind of historic perspective and then speak to the future. And so before I said that money was a tool and a technology that had very specific functions. But what's happened over time is that it's also become a technology of trust, and that's where it starts to get murky. What I mean by that, if I go back to the smaller communities, you know, indigenous communities, money was used as currency, right? And currency didn't necessarily have to look like dollars. It could have been shells and different objects, but there was a currency that they used for trade and exchange and measure of value. But trust was based on intimacy of relationships, right? We knew each other back then, Dawson. I knew who you were, if you were showing up in your role in your community, doing your job, were you integrity or not integrity, etc., right? I knew trust was based on relationship. In our more modern world, we don't have that same level of intimate relationships with everyone. So we use money as a way to communicate, am I trustworthy? And so creditworthiness has almost started to replace trustworthiness. And that's where we feel so much shame around money, because we're like, well, if I don't have money, I feel unworthy, unvaluable, untrustworthy. There's all these things that we could say. So I think that's part of what you start to connect to in that survey that you're doing, is our feelings around it, because we're too caught up in it defining who we are. Right. And so I think that's the first step, is to be like, okay, let's create a little bit, you know, that's unhealthy attachment, right? So from a therapeutic standpoint, what's our healthy attachment to money? And again, it's situating it as a resource, not the resource or one resource. It's a resource in our ability to design a wealth portfolio. And when I say wealth portfolio, I'm referring to the wealth mandala that is much more wider. Financial stability, which means our ability to provide for ourselves and our families, is one slice of that pie, but just one slice of that pie, right? And so when we start to say, okay, money is a resource, right, in the whole wealth mandala and wealth portfolio, then we're begged to ask the question, what are some of the other resources that I have at my disposal? What are my relational resources, time resources, creative resources, etc.? What's my resilience? What am I taking on from my financial DNA, right? I was like, oh, I discovered that my grandfather survived bankruptcy twice. I'm like, check this out. I got resilience in my family. I'm going to cultivate that, right? And so again, all of these become really important resources. So I wonder too, when you do that survey around money, you know, is it you're asking about money? Or are you asking about the relationship to wealth? Almost like where are you leading then into that inquiry? Because we tie the two together. But if we allow ourselves to understand that we have the ability to expand our sense of resources, again, it becomes a spiritual practice, right? Because when you're leaning into spirituality, you being more spiritual, Dawson, does not take anything away from me being more spiritual. That is an abundant resource. Your creativity doesn't take away from my creativity, right? Maybe if from a dollar standpoint, right, if I pay you, then I don't have that same amount. That is one potential resource that can be at times limited. But there's so many other abundant resources once we start to raise the gaze and realize that money is not the resource that defines wealth.
Yeah. And again, that's that multi-dimensional view of wealth that really honors all of the aspects of who we are as human beings, and then has us see it through that lens, which again changes our entire perspective. When you're working with people at the other end of the economic spectrum, from those women in Oaxaca, where they are, say, for example, managing large amounts of money, what are the challenges for them? Because people who are struggling with money often think, oh, if only I was one of those people who was a trust fund baby, or had a huge inheritance, or had made a killing early in life and didn't have to have these struggles, that my life would be so much better. And I've known quite a few trust fund babies, and I found they're generally quite unhappy, and there's all kinds of conflicts in those families. In fact, I've done some work with families where there is a lot of conflict brought about by the very wealth they have. So what's the picture? And just share with us sometimes that those people who we may idealize in terms of their net worth can be suffering very, very deeply.
And so, yes, and I would clarify, I talk about it in terms of the asset size, right? I'm trying to decouple net worth from asset size. So yes, they have a big, their slice of the pie and financial stability is almost like overflowing. And we would be like, well, that would be, you know, a great problem to have, right? But what ends up happening, Dawson, is that it actually takes up a disproportional amount of that wealth mandala at the expense of some of these other needs, and that is why they're unhappy. I agree 100%. Some of my hardest clients are trust fund babies, right? Because they will rank 2 on purpose, right? 2 on participation on a scale of 1 to 10, because they're like, I never really had to find myself through working. I don't know what actually drive looks like and feels like. I haven't had that, right? And so, you know, because money and vitality are very tied. And so 100%. And even those clients of mine who have worked for their financial wealth, right? When we do this exercise, because I tell all my clients, my job is half done in helping you organize the financial stability slice of the pie. That is a big part of my job, is coming up with the strategies to meet your goals. But that's only half my job. Then we do the wealth mandala, and you would be surprised how many people are scoring 1, 2s, and 3s in a lot of other areas for a couple different reasons. One, they're working so hard in financial stability slice of the pie, there is no time for physical health, for leisure, etc. Or they're throwing money at leisure by taking these vacations, but never really resting. They don't know how to feel off. Productivity is too ingrained in their bones. They don't know what off in leisure looks like. Or, for example, I had one client who we did this wealth mandala, and he scored a 2 in touch. Right? And so anyone would be like, well, let's throw money at the problem. Let's just add in some massages, right? He's like, no, I do not like being touched, and it is eating at me because I have a 2-year-old and I don't know how to get close to her because she wants touch and I feel blocked. I'm like, that's interesting. Let's have that conversation, right? And we started digging into a lot of familial trauma that he had with his mom that is blocking him from physical touch, that is causing so much angst, scarcity, and poverty in this connection with his daughter, right? And if I didn't ask that question with the wealth mandala, I wouldn't have known. And it doesn't matter how much money you have, if you're feeling this lack in other areas of your life, you are not happy.
Also, we find when we study spiritual masters, and I've done a fair number of studies of people in transcendent states, that when they move into those transcendent states, their whole relationship with everything material changes, and they're pretty much okay with how things are. And that kind of equilibrium then translates into actually being better at managing everything in their lives, including money. So once you are able to move into elevated states of consciousness, often we find that many other dimensions of people's lives improve. Elizabeth, it's been so powerful and provocative to share with you. And I want to encourage people to go to your website. I want to encourage them to take that test. And again, that mandala is free on Elizabeth's website, elizabethhusserl.com. Please do go there and then engage with these concepts. And don't let this be a passing conversation with you. Make this something you really focus on, that you chew on, that you work with in your consciousness, and use it as a transformative tool. It can be that for you. And Elizabeth shows how it can be that for all of us. I am so grateful for your passionate energy, how you're bringing this wisdom to everyone. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for both how you're approaching this and this priceless information you're giving us.
Thank you, Dawson, for having me here. It's been such a pleasure.
It's been a joy. So till next week, take care of yourself. Apply these insights. Love yourself. Fill yourself with love and blessings. Release your stress, meditate, do all those things you know are good for you. You are worth it. It is so worth applying all these wonderful tools and insights in high energy health practically in your life. So as always, every blessing. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net. Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the 3 basic styles: A free quiz at lovingrelationshipsnow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit lovingrelationshipsnow.com.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. It works quickly and has no side effects. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com. That's tappinggift.com. Don't suffer when help is at your fingertips. Get your manual at tappinggift.com today.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.